This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. If I
Welcome to the chillest advice hour on the internet. I'm George Basil. Who are you?
I'm Mary Tyler Moore.
Holy shit, awesome.
And you?
I'm also Mary Tyler Moore.
Holy shit, two Mary Tyler Moores and one George Basil in the house.
That's an orgy.
That song, I think it was a song. Would you say that was a song?
Yeah, I love that.
Was written by a Luxembourger named Luca, whose song we've used before, not this specific song, who's made another song for us. And his email said, by the way, you were pronouncing my name and my buddy's name, Manu, completely wrong.
How are you pronouncing it?
I think Luca and Manu, so I'm probably doing it again. Mm. He didn't clarify how to do it.
Manu?
Did Manu? Say Manu?
Maybe it's Luca Manu? And Manu.
Manu.
Yeah. Manu's a good guess.
Yeah.
Interesting facts about Luxembourg. We have.
That's fine. We're good.
Okay. You're saying Luxembourg wrong too.
Borg.
It's Berg. Luxembourg.
Yeah.
I'm pronouncing it B-O-U-R-G.
Luxembourg.
Yeah.
Luxembourg.
We have a duke and our own language.
Luxembourgese.
Sorry, that's not that interesting.
I wouldn't think
interesting
they have
fact. Interesting. I mean that they have a duke.
Yeah, but fuck dukes.
Fuck dukes, dude.
Yeah. I like that song a lot.
Really? That's mm-hmm. why I sort of chose it because it had your vibe, your aura.
That, like, that was playing out of your car when you rolled up.
This is your first episode since, gosh, who knows? Who knows when you were with us before?
That's like 2005.
It was during when we lived at that house we recorded outdoors.
Oh, when I had the cabin.
Yeah, the cabin house.
That was the cabin house. Your sister was inside washing dishes, and I was just watching her wash dishes the whole time.
You will never forget that.
I will never in my life forget that.
Last thing you see when you die.
I know. How uncomfortable does it make you, Jake, when I talk about
when you think of my sister washing dishes?
I
would not uncomfortable at all. I would kill for you to be my brother-in-law.
Oh my God, absolutely. If we were bros. Kill.
Yeah, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That still counts.
Just by law.
I would love to come to family functions.
Oh man, that'd be great.
Yeah.
We would have so much fun.
Yeah, maybe I'll just start.
Totally.
Start what?
Just start.
Start what?
I'll start.
Yeah.
Soon.
You gotta
like,
start.
What's your next family thing?
Rosh Hashanah at my Aunt Amy's house.
Russian Shana?
Russian Shana.
You're in,
Russian
dude.
Sauna. Hot baths. Just me and my aunt.
So this is just what you wish my family functions were.
Russian sauna.
You mean the girl I saw washing dishes? We're all going to a Russian sauna? All right, never mind. You're not invited, George.
But we will see you at the Yom Kippur break fast.
Yeah, I will come.
That's going to take place also at a Russian sauna. I found it March 8th, 2015.
Whoa, what's today? March 8th, 2000?
No, time doesn't work that way.
Okay.
You don't just get to guess.
Wow.
Today, while recording, is September 21st. I want to say it comes out Monday, September 26th, 2016. So about a year and a half.
Jeez, a year and a half's not a long time. I don't feel any more dead.
But you're much more successful, I would say, in the last 18 months.
Oh,
you're on,
yeah.
You're on TVs and stuff.
Yeah, no. 18 months ago, we were embarrassed to even be seen with you.
Yeah.
And now it's like an honor that you're here.
Yeah, it's like... Yeah.
Well, that'll change back.
Oh, when you lose the jobs?
Yeah. Or even just like the jobs stay intact.
Did you have any of these TV gigs in March 8th?
Like, yeah, I think all I'd done is shot the pilot for Wrecked at that point, but it hadn't been picked up.
So Wrecked got picked up. Now it's a TV show. Yeah. There's going to be two seasons.
It's going into the second season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Flaked, which is a show on Netflix that you're on with Will Arnett.
That starts October 3rd, second season.
Crashing, a pilot you shot for HBO got picked up to a full season with Pete Holmes.
Shot that first season. That second season is like
That's already 3 for 3 on pilots to series, which is a long shot. Yeah, it's like the basil bump.
It's the basil bump.
And then didn't you were just also in Vancouver shooting something else.
Vancouver for a CW show that my buddies wrote called No Tomorrow, which is awesome.
Yeah.
The whole cast and everybody in Vancouver was cool as shit.
When you walk into an audition room now, you're just like, come on, let's get over
the audition rooms, bro.
It's a Basil's offer only. You think he auditions?
Oh, dude.
They don't offer me shit either.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think it's actually kind of, I mean, I'm so busy, I guess, that TV's kind of out. I can't do anything else.
You're locked up.
Luckily, the way that all those shows that you mentioned lined up,
yeah,
just by sheer...
luck.
Chance. Like, they all worked in a calendar year, like, seasonally.
Right. Like, this is done, and then, for whatever reason, now Wrecked is shooting in wherever.
Your travels, like, because Pete Holmes' show, you shot in New York, right? Like, that's, so you're, like, getting to shoot a show in New York, one in Puerto Rico, one in Vancouver,
and then one
in Venice Beach.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
It's ridiculous.
It's incredible.
It is. It really is. I don't know what to do.
And to think it should be me.
Oh.
What?
That's not... It's mean and it's not true. It's small-minded and incorrect.
And it could be.
It would be better if it were me as you, as your characters, for it to be I instead of George.
Do you think that makes the shows better, or do you think that makes your life better?
Me better.
All right.
Show's worse, me better, who cares? What's
George
the
better.
George Brent.
George dead.
George Brent.
If George was just dead, I would get all of his roles.
I'm
you guys
the number
are doing
two.
Great too. Look at this, man. This office is amazing.
Yeah, we have an office.
It's super profesh and luxesh.
Yeah, we couldn't book any fucking parts, so we decided to just make an office.
Yeah.
Now we're fucking 9-to-5 losers.
We build our own.
We're not
shit.
Artists anymore, dude. We're fucking business owners.
We
it's
have
not
computers
cool.
everywhere.
Look at this. There's
not
fucking
true.
There's like 3 computers in here alone.
No, you guys can hold auditions here.
Thanks, anytime. Man. And we should. And we will.
We should for parts that don't exist so we can reject everyone. Just like everyone rejected us.
Some sort of weird, very low stakes revenge movie.
So we could tell everyone in the room
they
didn't get it.
Hard pass, sweetheart.
I don't think so, sir.
Try again. Better.
You're all wrong for this. Why'd you call me in?
I don't know. But this is not a web series. This is an advice podcast. It's actually the only advice podcast on the internet hosted by us. I'm Amir, and that's Jake, and we're with George today.
Hello.
I thought it was Mary Tyler Moore, but no.
Right.
No.
You've done the program before. You get the rules. People will email us. They're in sticky situations. They're seeking our advice. They think me and Jake are wise. Wait till they get some of the basil wisdom.
Ooh.
Holy shit, these people are lucky because we're dispensing, I would say, another 100% free wisdom from the wisest person
come
I know.
Oh, that's very nice. Hopefully they're not cutters.
This first email comes from a lady. A lady named... George, you want to name her? Because we can't use her real name.
Yeah, Martilda.
What's that?
Martilda.
Oh, that actually is her real name.
Shit.
Martilda.
Again.
Shit. I just spilled shit on myself.
Does Martilda have a last name?
Yeah, Swint.
That's amazing. Martilla Swint. I already pronounced it incorrectly. Hey, guys. I'm having some troubles relationship-wise and thought you guys could help. Whenever I'm able to find a boyfriend, everything goes really well for about a month or so, but then I get bored. I get bored of current relationships way too easily as my focus quickly shifts to other things and other people. This usually hurts my current boyfriend's feelings and puts an end to the relationship. They think I don't like them anymore, which usually isn't true. I just have a hard time keeping up a relationship once the new and exciting factor wears off, and I find something else that's new and exciting. I want to believe that I can find someone that I can have a long-term relationship with, but it's gotten to the point where I'm not wanting to date anyone anymore because I feel like our chemistry will inevitably fizzle out. Any advice for keeping a relationship going once you hit that point of getting bored? Thanks. Love the show. Love, Martilda Swind.
Martilda.
Grazie, it's Martilda. It's
Tilda Swinton's Hispanic cousin.
Hispanic nephew.
Wow. Okay.
George, how long does it take you to get bored usually?
Yeah, right away.
Oh, instantly, first day.
Pretty much. It's like, what's your name? Yeah, mine too. Adios. Not really.
You're not even intrigued that you met a girl named George?
Oh, never. He said it's that regardless.
It takes like, I think I have about a year threshold. I can do it a long time. I fall pretty deep and then it goes pretty long and hard. And
oh, you're in it.
Yeah.
And you get more into it.
I get really into it.
Second date, third date, more into it, more into it.
Yeah.
1 month, tenderness. 2 months.
See, that's I've had that same problem too. Because like, girls, in my experience, have like understood the real quick phasing out. Like, oh yeah, we went on 3 dates and he wasn't interested. Like,
right.
That's people are conditioned. Like, that's normal.
What's not
normal is like 2 years of head over heels. Like. I want to share the world with you. Mm-hmm. Be with me. We are one. And then after 2 years, you're just like, fuck it. Like, wait a second.
Why didn't you get bored earlier? You would have saved us time.
Yeah.
You dove headlong into this, swam out into the middle of the ocean and immediately hopped on a speedboat and went away.
Yeah, you should have just broken up to me when I was close enough to shore to swim back.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Why? Do you get bored after a long time or quicker than that?
I guess both. Whenever I've been bored in every long-term relationship I've ever been, I've gotten bored. And then there were stretches when I was single and I would start to anticipate the boredom before it would even actually happen.
Whoa.
So that's like what you were saying before. I would like go out with somebody and like even if I was attracted to them, in that same like dinner I would – well, never dinner, drinks. Those same drinks I would like
– not even a lunch.
I'd go through everything in my head, be like our falling in love, our courtship, our wedding, our marriage, our children, and then our inevitable divorce.
Yeah.
So by the end, I'm like, all right, this was fun. I never have to see you again.
Yeah.
I'm divorced from you.
Let me nip it in the bud right now. I think Louis C.K. has a joke where it's like, why get married where the best possible outcome is seeing your best friend die? Like, either you die or you see your best friend die. Like, why not just not do that at all?
Then you live a whole entire life without a best friend.
Well, that's what she's starting to feel like.
What's your threshold?
As I get older, I get quicker to cut off.
Yeah.
I'm like, that girl's great. We should probably break up. Or like, I'm not going to see her. I'm not going to marry her. And like, what, you've only been out with her twice. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not. What, am I going to like have kids with this person?
Yeah.
No, that's not going to happen. I'm not even enjoying the moment because I'm like, if it's not going to happen, I would have decided to marry her by
what
now.
What do you think that is? Is it like it's a psychological partnership? Like,
well, in my mind, it's like the ladies that I find myself instantly attracted to are also not the ones that I like get like romanticized building a life together with.
Right.
So like those are two different ladies entirely.
Mm-hmm. So do you spend any time trying to pursue ladies you want to build a life with? Or do you think that's like just not in the cards for you?
I think I'm so picky in particular that it's hard for me to find that like magical one in a million person that like in
so
the meantime
like,
I'm like, oh, I'm attracted to this person. I might as well go on a date with her. All right, I'm
you
attracted
let the,
to her.
You let the distractions come in.
Yeah, let the distractions come in and then see if maybe it leads to something. I don't know. There's a lot of people are like, you know right away. When I found her, I knew and it was instant and I got it. And then some people are like, yeah, you know, it's fine for a little bit. And then we like built up to the partnership of like the idea of living together and moving in and starting a family. Like, you don't have to be sexually charged and new and exciting and chemistry for the rest of your life. At a certain point, that person has to turn into, like, okay, now we're partners in life, make a family, and, like, we both rule over this mini kingdom together.
Right. But there has to be, like, leading up. You can't just, like, meet somebody and say, like, okay, you're my life partner. I respect you and I want to build a mini kingdom with you. You have to, like, let the excitement
wear off.
Yeah, I think in the ideal relationship, the adrenaline, the excitement, the, like, I want to share things with you, fades just as your, like, loyalty kicks in.
Yeah, it's a crossfade instead of a cut off and then a restart.
Right, but sometimes, so sometimes
goes down,
they don't.
This goes up.
Sometimes they don't mix. Sometimes they don't overlap, and you can't run that, like, the distance in between to get to the next
phase.
And you have to keep your finger on that dial for the rest of your life.
Which dial?
That like excitement versus loyalty versus commitment versus all of it. Like, you have to. I am in a trance.
Yeah. Well, and that's really true, because, like, how many clubs do you go to where, like, the DJ sort of sucks at doing that and you leave?
Yeah, clubs I go to.
Yeah, but there's, like, some, that's why, like, it's so rare. There's some really great DJs that'll keep you dancing the entire night.
And then some people get married during the intense excitement phase, and then that wears off, and they're married. And
I do that.
Oh, no, you did that.
I do that all the time. That. I do that every time. I've been married 70 times.
You have been married.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
You joke, but not too much of a joke.
No.
Yeah, you've been married.
To get back, oh, fuck yeah. To get back to to get back to her question, though, she said that Martilda said that she feels like she should be single for a while, and I'd probably agree. If you're losing that sensation of excitement and, like, that falling in love thing within a month with everyone or with anyone, then there's a good chance that whatever is going on should be, like, introspective, and you should probably just be figuring your own shit out.
I completely agree.
You know?
But is being single also dating people, or are you talking about not even dating anybody?
Yeah, I'd say probably date. I don't know. I'm in that position now where I'm single now for a while, for, like, the first and longest period in my life.
How long?
Year.
21 years?
21 years. 21,
you were in a serious relationship when you were 7.
Ever since I started working in television, I've been single. It's been a while. It's been a bit. And it's great. And there have been dates, and there have been close encounters. And it's like...
Of the third base.
Third base.
Third base. Just so you know, first date, third base.
first date, third base.
But there's still so much to unpack. Like, there's still so much shit that, you know, I'm not ready to do. Like you're saying, I'm that person that you run through that list of, like, criteria.
Yeah.
How they're going to fit into your family. That's heavy shit, man.
Right. It's like, okay, so I have to be sexually attracted to this person, and also they have to get along well with my mother at Seder, and also they want to raise a family in Los Angeles, and also they want to yada yada yada.
Yeah, absolutely.
What if instead of a marathon, the same girl shifting in and out of this excitement and loyalty, it's a relay race? So I'll date someone for 3 years. She'll pass the baton to somebody who's now more well-equipped to satisfy that next phase of my life.
I do believe that relationship or marriages should be 3-year contracts. You should be able to go to the table every 3 years, be like, hey, are we still good? Are we still doing what
you want your option in or no?
You should be able to have a marriage check-in every 3 years. And the default should be break up.
Right.
unless you, like, really discuss it. You're like, all right, hey, let's do 3 years. Let's do 3 more years.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Let's extend just 1 more year.
I mean, the NBA limits it at 4 or 5 years, and marriage is so much more important than that.
Yeah,
who would want to sign a 39-year-old to a lifetime contract? That's insane.
For no millions? Okay.
About Martilda, I agree that she's not ready for a relationship. That's why it's not clicking. But I think the attitude of being like, people bore me, is defeatist. She should have the attitude of, like, I haven't found the right person.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to settle.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are like, I don't actually feel that with anybody. And then they met somebody that was like, she or he changed all that. Yeah. Like, I was always bored, but then that person made it better. And so that's what dating is. You date them, and then maybe one day you'll find the person that
does get you
excited.
And even the people that you're talking about that you, like, build towards something with, that you're like, oh, you know, there wasn't, like, a whirlwind romance. It was like, it was a logical buildup. There's still a time, even in those relationships, where something clicks. And you feel like they're the person.
I don't envy those at all, man. The grinder relationships, like the ones that are just like,
we met, but
worked together, and then it started to happen after. It's like, fuck, you just like let yourself grow around this weed. And it so took it's like your water.
It was by accident. Yeah. We were around so often, it had to have happened.
Yeah. But, I mean, one of those people in that couple typically, too, is the one that was like, I kept going after it, man. I kept getting after it.
She eventually
finally said it.
But that's like, you hear that at weddings, and it's like romantic and cute. It's like, I just wore her down. Yeah. Cheers to Sally and John.
Yeah.
Sally's dead inside.
Yeah, I mean, but that's how a lot of people live.
Concessions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we live in a business where we're traveling and like bursts of work, bursts of nothing. Can you imagine living in the same place, working in the same city 9 to 5 every night? You come home at 5. You don't have to do any work from 5 to midnight. You like have that stability and security. I feel like that's a completely different like way to start, a starting point than like what you do specifically.
Right.
You're going to be in New York for 3 months. Okay, so like, what does your girlfriend in LA say about that? And what if she's also an actress and she's going to be in Hawaii for the 2 months after that, or shooting a movie in London for like...
Killer.
You know, real quick, I have a theory. I think Netflix is going to be the reason a lot of couples stay together. I think millennial couples are going to have a better marriage success rate than our parents.
Oh.
I think it's because of Netflix.
Netflix and marriage?
Because I chill so hard. Well, because like...
Chills forever.
Because now you like... And everybody has like these great shows to watch. It's like the best thing you can do with your significant other. You come home from work, you cook dinner, and you're like, hey, I'll watch 3 hours of Narcos right now. Like, right. I want to stay with you forever.
Access to good media.
I did watch a lot of more TV when I was in a relationship than when I was out. Like, because when I'm alone at home, like, I don't feel like the need to just like binge watch on a Netflix show.
Yeah.
But like if I'm with somebody else in the room and I've seen that person day in, day out for however long.
You don't want to talk to them.
Yeah. How much can we catch up? How much can we get to know each other? Yeah. We've already been texting all day. Now let's sit down and watch Making a Murder or whatever the show is called.
Making a Murder.
Do you want to answer another question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this one's from another lady. A 21-year-old female named?
Whitney.
Whetney?
Yeah. Whetney?
Whetney? Whetney?
Oh, yeah. I hate that name. That's the worst name I think anyone's ever said on the show.
Whetney.
Oh, it makes you shudder.
Yeah, you don't like saying it.
You know there's like some words like moist and panties that people ointment. Like fucking can't hear?
Yeah.
Mine is Whetney. Oh, I've never ever experienced that.
Some sort of sound making your skin crawl.
Oh, good lord.
What's the worst last name you could give her?
Ugh, Cummins.
Whitney Cummins.
I hate it.
I love the show, writes Whitney. I'm a 21-year-old female in need of some guidance. My boyfriend of 4 years has been chewing tobacco off and on for the past couple years.
My man.
The other day, I found a glass of tobacco spit under the bed. Gag. I was not snooping. I was just looking for my underwear. It was in the glass.
Oh, moist panties in the glass. Whitney.
And when I confronted him about it, he admitted to be doing it for the past month. He claims he is sorry, but he can't promise to stop because, quote, that is what addiction is. He wants me to help him by asking him every day if he's done it and by going through his stuff. I really don't want to be his mom and become a naggy girlfriend. Is this normal? Is he just making excuses? What do I do? P.S. With this truth bomb, he also confessed to have a crush on a girl in one of his classes. That is cute. What the fuck? Should I be concerned?
Always be concerned, Whitney.
You should always be concerned, as a rule.
Let's tackle the first issue first.
Yeah.
Chewing tobacco.
Mm.
That seems like something you would do.
I do.
You do or you did or you don't?
Did, do, and done.
Really?
Yeah. It's. I mean, now I chew this Nicorette gum, which is less disgusting because you don't have to spit it out.
What's your history with tobacco? Smoke cigarettes?
An addict since I was 15.
15 smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
So you still smoke?
Over 20 years. I still smoke if she's pretty. I'll walk up and bum a cigarette if she's pretty.
Yeah.
My dad is a lifelong smoker, and now for the last 20 years, he's been a tobacco chewer. So he dips. And that's then, like the little pocket right. shit.
So what's the difference between Nicorette and the dip?
Nicorette is like a chewing gum. And
it's just nicotine.
Yeah, and for some reason, it's in a form where you just chew the gum. You park it in your... you guys want to try some? I have some in my pocket.
God, no.
No.
Okay.
Instantly, no.
Okay.
But the chewing tobacco, is it real that there's like glass in it and it cuts your lips a little and
there's
goes in?
Like, yes. I think some of them, like Skoal or one of them, has like fiberglass in it because the point is to have small abrasions on your gums.
Insane.
So that the tobacco can leach through and the
insane.
Nicotine.
Insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
My dad will have cups of coffee, Dunkin' Donuts cups. He drinks it, and then he spits in it. So he's carrying around a cup of coffee all day long. And last summer, they visited from Greece. And I'm driving the family in a big like van that we rented, and there's a cup of coffee in the coffee holder, and I pick that
up. Oh, no!
And I take a swill, and I almost killed 6 people. All of us almost died.
Because you drank his tobacco spit.
I took a big old swill of his tobacco spit.
Oh, and what was it? What was
that's how you become close
what
to your
was
father.
It? Yeah, disgusting. The most disgusting. I watched my mom do it once, and there's nothing you can do but laugh at the person. That's the terrifying thing. It's like the whole van lit up with laughter when they
right.
said
that's when you almost
spit
killed
it.
Them.
Yeah. I almost just like
just to teach yeah. him a lesson.
You think this is funny? I'll drive the car on a fucking bridge.
It was horrible. It's disgusting. It's a disgusting habit, but as a tobacco...
And you have to spit it. You don't swallow anything, right?
The gum, yeah, the gum you can swallow. The dip you spit. The tobacco chaw you spit. The
chaw.
The snooses you can actually
the
swallow.
The snooses you loosen. The chaw you bob.
The elusive snooses.
And the skull you bowl.
The snooses are elusive.
That stuff you can kind of like, it just, it doesn't create a lot of saliva. It doesn't like hit those.
Okay, so you understand. Points. I'm kind of skeptical and cynical when it comes to addiction. Like a lot of my friends are like, listen, I wish I could quit, but I'm addicted. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, people are, it's hard. Like it's hard. If I also wanted to quit something I loved, it would be hard. Right. But if it didn't kill me, I would quit. And people do quit, so I know it's possible.
But it's not something that
well, that's
you
like
just
heroin. No heroin addict is like, sorry, I'm addicted.
Yeah.
Like, okay, hey. I didn't realize.
So
like, that's the problem.
Die.
Keep on. Right. Being addicted to coffee is sort of like one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
nobody's
I've never
like
had
nobody's
a chemical.
Gonna like force you to quit that. But
you've
smoking,
never had a chemical.
I've never like been addicted to a chemical, so I don't understand like an addiction on like a chemical level. I understand like yeah, it would be hard for me to give up sandwiches.
Yeah,
because I really like sandwiches. But if it gave me cancer, I wouldn't have a sandwich.
Yeah,
that's as far as I can empathize.
Bad news: sandwiches giving you cancer.
No. Okay. No, not my bologna on rye.
You've had a cigarette. I think I've had cigarettes with you.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely have like, I've never been addicted to cigarettes,
no.
But I smoke them pretty regularly.
Yeah, like two packs a day. But I'm not addicted.
Pretty regularly. But if I'm drunk and hanging out with people that do smoke, I'll probably have a couple cigarettes on like a Friday or something.
Have you ever quit for a lady?
Yes.
You
yeah.
have?
That was the, yeah. Like in a relationship, you can't be... successfully respectful.
What does that mean?
Well, you can't, you know, like if your lady doesn't smoke, she doesn't want to kiss an ashtray.
Right.
I'm opening a Nicorette.
Yeah.
Right
yeah. Because you're feeling it.
I've been in relationships with people who like used to be smokers, then like a year in the relationship just started smoking again. And you feel so helpless. You're like, wait a second.
Yeah.
I didn't sign up for this. And it's like so you can't really just break up with someone because they're a smoker. It sort of feels like a
just a nuisance
something they can't help. But then
yeah.
it's like at the same time you're like this is disgusting and I don't want to watch you do it.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because like you don't want to be like I forbid you to do it, but at the same time you want to be like I will break up with you if you don't do it.
Yeah.
So it is kind of like you putting your foot down.
It is,
but it's
gross.
Also for their own benefit. So you can't be that bad.
A jar under the bed. That's a little too close to where you fucking.
You just hear the jar hitting the bottom of the bed. Clink, 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 clink.
And all he's thinking about is his saliva juice.
He starts fucking the jar.
And this dude also wants her to, like, her to be the... He wants her to quit. He wants to, like, be grilled by her every single day. He wants her snooping through his stuff so he doesn't lie.
Yeah. Like, it's sort of on you at a certain point, buddy.
Yeah, but then it's tough because she's been with him for 4 years. What is it?
Maybe that's her threshold. Maybe now's the time.
Oh, yeah. Pull the plug.
Cut him loose, Whitney.
Cut him loose, Whitney. Spinning tobacco.
And then the PS is like a huge bomb, man. That PS is huge.
The PS is kind of weird. You don't confess to your girlfriend that you have a crush on someone.
Yeah, you're allowed to have crushes on people, but don't tell your girlfriend or boyfriend about the crushes.
You can't stop your thinkings, but you can stop your talkings and your spittings and your smokings. I'm so sorry about that. I really don't want to become his mom and naggy girlfriend. Is that normal? I think it's normal not to want to become his naggy girlfriend mom.
Yeah.
Is he just making excuses?
No, I think he's probably prolonging the situation. Like, you're giving yourself time by victimizing yourself, you know? You're like, you just have to stay on me. You have to tell me when I talk about it. Yeah. You have to tell me when I do it. I don't even think about when I'm doing it. It's like, yeah, okay, dude.
Take some responsibility, man. I got my shit to do.
Yeah. I'll quit next week if you remind me not to have it anymore.
Yeah.
What do I do? What should she do? What would you do? I think I would say no. I think I could put my foot down for smoking. And I don't feel like a bad guy because it's actually killing them. I would tell all my friends to stop smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what if they're addicted and they don't? And you have to be like, what, vigilant and make sure that they stop?
I don't understand. Like, I'm addicted, so I'm addicted. I understand I'm addicted, but so that's the thing.
Like, what if it doesn't even matter if you understand it or not. Like, say you're in a relationship with someone. Yeah. She's smoking.
Uh-huh.
And you say, you have to stop smoking. And she's like, okay, I will. But then she just goes out and keeps on smoking. What do you do? Break up with her?
Yeah, I think you'd be like, you're not doing what I'm asking you to
you
do,
which
is to not
a liar.
Die. Well, is she still smoking 2 packs a day, or is she like, oh, I had a cigarette this week?
She's trying.
You don't. You have no idea. You're finding cigarette butts in the bathroom.
Under the bed.
Picking
in a jar.
Up with tweezers. There's lipstick on this one.
Like that. Yeah, she doesn't it's his lips. Job that you didn't want, where you have to be like sort of a detective.
Yeah.
But it's like not like you're catching anyone cheat on you or something. It's like this very tiny little micro problem.
Yeah,
that's
but for
recurring.
Me, like, smoking is the biggest, like, one of the biggest things.
But it's wouldn't get into a relationship with a smoker. But what if somebody you were already in love with just was smoking
and then never gave up? I guess it depends on how deep I was in the relationship. If this was like 10 years in, we have kids, it's like, all right, now I have to fucking deal with this issue. I'm not going to divorce her.
4 years in, this is the exact scenario.
4 years is very long. If you got to make a decision either way, whether it's smoky or not, 4 years is like, you know who this guy is. You're going to marry him, marry the smoker, go for it, deal with it, or get out now. You spent 4 years growing, having a good time and a life with this guy, but if you're not going to marry him, get out.
Whitney.
Also, he's confessing about a cute girl in his class. What's her email address? We'd love to figure that out.
Yeah, it sounds like he's loading on the back door exits.
Yeah.
He's just like, I can't stop. Also, I love this girl.
Right, maybe, yeah, maybe this dude doesn't want to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
He sounds like he's being a little destructive.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with more questions and answers and Basil after this. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we are back.
Terrence.
And we are back.
What up? What up?
And we are back. Jake and I are taking the show on the road to Detroit, Chicago, Minneapolis, and Toronto in the next, let's say, month.
Oh, let me come to Toronto.
Dude, are you in any of these cities? You can come by, do the show with us.
I'm in Fiji next.
Okay, so that's, I don't know, 11,000 miles away.
We should do a show in Fiji.
You guys did Australia, right?
That's yeah, really close. That was close. Fiji, yeah. If only we were in Australia when you were in Fiji, that would be much more doable.
Doable.
When do you go to Fiji?
I think like January.
Oh, that's great. For my birthday. And your birthday.
For our birthdays.
Hell yeah, dude.
How close is your birthday to mine?
Yours is the 7th?
No.
8th?
Mm-mm.
9th?
Uh-uh.
Oh, 4th?
Yeah.
January 4th?
Yeah, so July, January 4th.
Exactly 2 weeks after.
Oh, July 1975.
That's right. That is correct. I'm a January 18th baby.
January 18th? When's yours?
August 5th.
Well.
What do you mean, well?
Nobody's perfect. You tried.
August 5th is a great birthday, guys.
Oh, yeah. That's big time. A lot of like historical relevance to that one.
Neil Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong died. Yep.
Your parents might have fucked on George's birthday.
Oh, yeah. They probably did.
And that was the only time.
You were a very premature baby. Jake was born...
right after they fucked.
Yeah. Jake was born 9 months too early. He came out the size of a poppy seed.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to see my mommy.
I couldn't wait.
He just like a poppy seed hung out on her.
A tiny little poppy seed. And I could talk right away too. And yeah. I had a very small voice. Mommy!
So this is our adult swim pilot pitch to you. You'd play the role of the seed.
The poppy seed baby. The poppy seed baby boy played by George Basil.
Beige has the seed.
Shooting in Fiji.
And the doctor who births the seed.
A bagel man of sorts who birthed the seed. George plays the seed and the bagel man doctor.
Mommy!
The cartoon takes place in Fiji on location for no reason. It's animated in the United Arab Emirates.
We're already writing the check. What are you?
This is an offer.
Why are you going to Fiji?
For Wrecked, for that TBS show, Wrecked.
Got it.
Yeah.
So just let's get season twos of everything and run it back, basically.
Yeah.
You got your shows. Just loop it out.
Season two.
Fucking Jack in the Box. That's fun.
Yeah, that'll be great. You guys should come. Where are those shows again? Minneapolis?
Minneapolis, Detroit, Chicago, and Toronto.
Minneapolis, Toronto. Detroit, Chicago, Toronto.
Toronto.
Toronto's coming up. Toronto's next week.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, actually, you're listening to this on Monday. Our show in Toronto is this week.
Oh, it's on like, tomorrow.
Yeah, come to our show, goddammit.
Whoa.
This is happening soon.
You guys
soon.
Are already at your show.
Yeah.
Our show is tomorrow in Toronto.
Yeah, or if you're listening to it on Tuesday or Wednesday, our show is happening now. You're
Who
missing
knows
our
how
show.
Much I love Canada. Yeah,
which show is on Tuesday? Is the stand-up show or the podcast?
I think our podcast is second, but why don't you guys talk while I look that up? I'll give you a topic. Okay. Let's say George hasn't cut his hair in a while.
Yeah.
When is the last time you cut your hair?
Well, I was married, and...
Whoa, you're Samson.
All your divorce power is in your hair.
Man, Canada is mine.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Do you got a trim on that hair, on that mane, or do you just like not even cut
it? No, I don't touch it. I mean, I touch it, but right. I don't work it.
Zero, nothing.
Yeah, I should probably comb it more than I do, but I definitely keep it clean with like washing it and conditioning it, but it just stays under a hat. Wow. Do you like it?
I love it.
You do?
Yeah.
You too can have one.
Really? I wish.
What do you mean?
I can't grow that hair.
What would you? What would your
You're
hair
currently
do?
Growing out your hair. Yeah. You're working on it right now.
all snakes.
You're Medusa today. You are Medusa. Our comedy Jake and Amir and Friends stand-up show is Tuesday, and our live podcast is Wednesday at the Queen Elizabeth Theater. It's like a 1,200 person venue, so please,
Hell holy shit, yeah, man,
please tickets. Come on out.
Our website looks good, huh?
This is not our website. All right. this is the Just for Laughs JFL42.com website.
Huh.
And it does look
Bless
good.
You.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Do you want to answer some more questions?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Finally, a question about from a dude. Like, let's help out the fellas.
A question about
That's why we started this dude. Podcast.
Yeah. I don't know.
So we can talk to guys.
Hey, if you're a girl and you're listening, turn it off or turn it up because we're about to get real. So I don't want you listening, or I want you listening extra hard, or just change.
You
the way
cannot
you
please every. You are trying to please the alt-right and feminists in the same podcast.
If you're a Trump supporter or a Gary Johnson fan, I want you to fucking turn this shit down, but not all the way.
Because this one is just for you. But remember, ladies, I'm with her. All right, here
if
we
you're
go.
You're laying down, stand up.
And vice versa.
Dude, yeah, you gotta just pick a side. You're not gonna get them all.
This is you talking to Jimmy Fallon. Oh, come on, let's talk about it. It's topical.
Guys.
Do you have a guy's name?
A guy's name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Terred.
That's amazing. T-E-R-R-D?
Yeah, T-E-I-R-D.
Oh, T-E-I-R-D.
Terred.
Yeah. Last name?
Vigent.
Terred Vigent writes, hey guys, I'm just going to jump into it. I moved away to college this year, and in doing so, broke up with my old lady. But since I've been here, we've been having Skype sex. And when she says she loves me after, I feel obligated to say the same. But I moved away so I can have a fresh start. And I feel like if I do that, I could really hurt her badly. So I don't want to. What should I do?
Cut your throat, pal. Cool guy. This is you. I love that voice.
Yeah. Hey, dude. Got cool broke up voice. With my old lady because I needed a fresh start. Still hook up with her on Skype. I feel bad not saying I love you. I don't want to hurt her. What should I do?
Only I don't want to be Home with her. Depot. Remember to hang loose, buddies.
I said, cut the cord. Get me the fuck out. But now I feel bad that I'm hurting her feelings. So I still say I love you.
Giggity, giggity. Locals only.
It seems like he sort of soft broke up with her.
Mm.
Maybe this is his first breakup, and he's like, I don't want to just drop her off a cliff. I'll slowly, gently let her down.
Yeah. Right.
I'll say we'll break up, and then we'll have Skype
sex. The thing
sex.
That he needs to remember is that he's not being nice to her. He's deluded himself into thinking that having Skype sex with her and lying to her about loving her is the nice thing to do.
Right, because love is nice and
Sorry,
sex is
friend,
good.
You're doing the mean thing.
Because?
You're taking advantage of her love for you so you can still jerk off on Skype and come, and then you say I love you because you don't want to feel guilty for exploiting her, and then you want to go out and seize your cheese. But you can't have it all. Just like you can't have the Trump supporters, the Gary Johnson supporters, the Jill Stein supporters, and the Hillary supporters.
You have to choose one. Actually, I skipped a parenthetical. That question specifically, even more messed up, is I kind of want a fresh start, and I feel like if I do that, for example, start talking to other girls, I could really hurt her badly, and I don't want to.
Oh.
He wants to break up. He wants a fresh start, but he thinks that'll hurt his ex-girlfriend's feelings, so he doesn't want to do that.
It'll probably hurt Whitney's feelings.
Oh, you think this guy is Whitney? Whitney?
Yeah.
Teared and wet together at last.
Oh, shit, he's chewing chaw.
He's sculling, bowling, and coaling.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, like Jake said, you can't have it. You got, I mean, you know, break up, tough to do. Got to take the pain.
You have to say. And you can't be the one that consoles.
Yeah,
breaking up hurts, but the thing that hurts worse is the half breakup.
Yeah,
is like the you know, straddling both sides and like being hurt, being free, being hurt, being free. Like, what the fuck do I do? I'm hurting somebody. You need to cut her off. You need to end this completely. No more Skype sex.
Understandably difficult when you're talking about like the half breakup, but you're still fully fucking,
mm-hmm.
right? Like
yeah.
The comfort of a partner, ex-partner or whatever that you no longer see regularly, so you're not tired of them or like in the routine that you funked up, but instead you're like, you miss them, you love them still, and then you get to have sex with them.
Uh-huh.
I get that.
Yeah, that way you can have it all.
Then you eat it all.
You're single and still fucking her.
Fuck pain. What about gain? But the Skype thing is, that's for me at least, that's one degree too removed. I would just, like, it's over. I don't need to see your vagina. I have one.
Right. Skype is like.
You don't.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said right.
Oh, yeah. I don't have
one.
No, George,
That's how George breaks up with everyone.
I have one.
I don't need your vagina anymore. No, I have one of my own.
No.
So you do not have a vagina.
No, I do not have one.
Okay, because you're nodding yes.
No. Not a vagina. But
now you're just moving your head in circles.
Pussy. I see it. I see your vagina. You have a vagina.
Wow. Awesome.
It's a can. It's a can of LaCroix.
It's a pussy can.
It's, I get the half stepping on the way out the door is like classic dude.
But a lot of people confuse being nice with doing what's easy. The easy thing for this guy is to like, not have this tough conversation with his girlfriend, and he's able to say, oh, I'm being nice, I'm not hurting her. But you're not hurting her like directly. You're not watching her cry because you're lying to her.
Yeah.
But that's more painful. Like this breakup, the one that he has to have, is going to be more painful than if he had just broken up before he went to school.
Totally. 100%.
Ugh, I don't want to be nice. It's hard to be nice. It's easy to be meesy and meansy. So I'm going to suggest keep fucking her on Skype. Keep saying I love you.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Okay.
Say I've been thinking about you more and more while you're still dating other girls. That way she's happy, you're happy, and then you kill yourself in December. That way issues go away anyway. Your brain's on the fucking wall.
Merry Christmas, right. Skype.
Please follow my advice.
Hey, listen. There's no wrong way to eat a Reese's.
That what you said is the worst. You advise this guy to kill himself during a Skype date.
It's subjective.
There's no wrong way to eat a racist.
There is no wrong way to eat a racist.
That's true. Could we answer one more question really quickly?
Oh, we'll do God, that was my bone.
We'll do a quick sesh.
Yeah, dude.
One last girl. I can't believe it.
Who?
Three ladies.
Three girls?
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
Taylor? Tinky.
Tinky, Taylor.
Tinky, Taylor, Soldier. And Stein.
Tinky, Taylor, oh, Soldier, shit, that's Stein.
Taylor, Tinky, and Stein is like it's a law firm where one of the lawyers sucks. Can you imagine which one it is?
I'm Tinky.
Hey, John Taylor. Julie Stein.
And I'm Crack Tinky.
Crack Tinky.
Crack Tinky.
Crack Tinky writes, One of my closest friends is 3 years younger than me, and I've always seen her as a younger sister. Her family has told me that I've been like a mentor to her. I've given her advice on pretty much every life topic for 5 years now. Her brother and I are at the same college. We started out as fuck buddies 3 years ago, but at some point we became a formal couple, and we're now thinking about moving in together. Not only are we great together, but it'd be cost-effective, and I would really like to give it a try. That being said, my baby sister from another mister has no idea I'm dating her brother. It killed me to hide it from her, but I didn't want to be a bad example to her. Mentors don't just have sex with the siblings of their mentees. I feel like if I move in with him, I would have to tell her that I've been low-key fucking her brother for multiple years now. I don't want to do this for many reasons, so what should I tell her? Love, Tinky.
Taylor Tinky Stein.
I'm Tinky.
You know the rule of mentors don't have sex with the siblings of their mentees.
Yeah, the mentees. Go back to fuck buddies. Tinky.
Have you ever had a secret or like a relationship where you had to hide it from someone?
Yeah.
What's the deal with that?
All of them.
They're all secrets.
It's called shame, Blumenfeld. Some people feel it constantly.
And I'm embarrassed.
Fuck ghosts. No, it seems like the mentee would understand that, you know, as long as you're still a good mentor, she'd be like, oh, and my brother? What are you teaching him? And then you could have like a weird family three-way.
The real brother.
This is like a potentially beautiful thing. Remember in Friends when Ross finds out that...
sister and my best friend.
Yeah, it's like, my best friend and my sister. And then he just softens. He's like, my best friend and my sister. And he hugs him. That's like...
That's what will happen.
That's what will happen.
Well, maybe not. It might take a little time. It might be tough. It might take a little time. But nobody... I don't think she's going to stay mad forever, especially if your relationship is like... real. It's one thing if you're like, oh, I've been fucking your brother and, you know, I hurt his feelings and now we're not together anymore. Now it's going to be weird. I can't come over the house.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to be like, hey, I fell in love with your brother. I'm going to move in with him. Yeah. I'm going to be a bigger part of your family. I still love you and all that shit.
Is it public and safe to say that you've been in the place of this mentee?
Where somebody was fucking my sister?
I don't know about fucking, but dating, being with her, wanted to be with her and was afraid to tell you?
Yeah. That did happen.
And how did you react?
I was pissed. I was pissed for a while, but then I got over it and it was beautiful. It was really nice.
Is it me?
It was you. The dish earlier. I think the only claim she'll have at being quote unquote mad is the... lying about it for 3 years. I guess you shouldn't have lied about it for 3 years. That's a little weird. But I think she'll get over it. She'll be nice if she actually looks up to you and you're dating her brother. She might be pissed at first, but you should still...
As long as she loves her brother.
That's what I was going to say.
I hope she has a good relationship with her brother. What if like the brother was the source of a lot of the problems? I need a mentor because my brother is an abusive asshole.
You're the reason I'm a mentee.
I'm going to help you. Oh my God, that abusive asshole is hot.
I wish I was a mentee. Will you be my mentor?
You be my mentee?
What?
You retract.
Never mind. Jake will just do it.
Sorry, Tinky. You're not a good mentor.
I am the mentee.
Great fuck buddy, though.
Great fuck buddy.
Has that happened to you?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I've never. I don't know. I don't even like dating friends of friends. I feel a little weird about that.
Really?
Yeah, my perfect girl's like, oh, nobody knows her. Let me introduce you to this nurse from Torrance that I discovered. Not like, oh, yeah, I know that girl. My buddy dated her, and like she fucked this other guy and like 3 years ago, and I tried to hook up with her once.
Who's that asshole friend that as soon as he finds out you're a girlfriend, he tells you the list of people she's fucked?
It's like if I'm like, oh, I'm dating this girl, wouldn't you be like, oh, shit. Fucking Dave Rosenberg did something to her.
I wouldn't say that, no.
Rosie.
Well, who's a girl that Dave Rosenberg has been with?
Which part, like
Shakira?
Shouldn't out them.
He ruined Shakira.
Right, if I'm like, oh, I'm dating this new girl. It's this girl. You would be like, cool. You wouldn't be like, wait a second.
I think, yeah, I would just be
Dave
like
Dave Plowder at the Bagelsmith at 5 a.m.
Yeah, I wouldn't say anything, but I would know that it would get back to you. But I would just, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I seek to avoid that kind of stuff. But it's sometimes unavoidable.
Yeah.
It's unavoidable.
We live in a small community.
Yeah, we're all funny peoples.
Even a nurse from Torrance.
She's the funniest of all.
Oh, my God. George married her.
My 13th new wife.
All right. Cool. George.
Yeah.
Thanks as always.
Hey, man.
Namaste, dude.
I would do this every single Wednesday.
Sounds great to me. Yeah. We could do a remote from Fiji. Actually, we could come visit in Fiji.
You can.
And then we can. We just need three microphones.
I want to come to a show.
You should come to a show.
Yeah.
Let's figure it out.
Maybe the Toronto.
Do you have anything to plug?
Not a damn thing, but thanks for having me.
Hell yeah, dude. That's the cool shit, dude. That's the fucking
That's the base, dude.
I love that shit. It's a shame because he did promise his sister he'd plug her charity.
Oh yeah, that's right. She's not doing so well, but hey.
Anyway,
thanks for having me, guys.
The opening theme song was written by Luca. This closing one is a full song by Daniel. So thanks to Daniel and Luca for writing. If you have your own theme songs, your own questions, your own anything, submit it to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. George will not always be here, but Jake and I will do our best. And it's sometimes that's enough. See you next week. Later, dudes.
Thank you.
You're feeling down and out, falling into the same old trap. You're thinking about all the troubles on your mind. You gotta come up with a plan right now, but you're dumb and you don't know. Jake and
that was a HeadGum Podcast.